Hi, I am Pastor Greg of the Jordan Assembly of God Church in Jordan, Montana. It is truly great to share this recorded live-streamed Sunday service with you. Whether you're joining us live or exploring past messages, we invite you to visit our webpage at jordanaog.com. We are on the love of God in the heavens. Next week we'll continue on in our Timothy series. And we're going to start this morning out in Romans 8, 37 through 39. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you for this time. I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you that we can all gather together here, Father. And I pray that we may just have a wonderful time today in your name. Amen.
Okay.
The leader of an organization, the leader of a group, sets the tone. If a good or bad leader, depending on who it is, will set the tone for the attitudes and the actions of the people underneath them. Okay, if you have a really good leader, they're going to, you just find yourself wanting to go to work, wanting to do what is needing to be done. When you have a bad leader, you basically are going to work because you're looking for the paycheck or whatever. But the attitudes, you find yourself more frustrated when you're underneath a leader that is not a good leader. You'll find yourself more angry. You'll find yourself more upset. If you're under a good leader, then you'll find yourself characteristically just kind of start doing that. If you notice your leader treating other people nicely, guess what you start doing? Even whether or not you want to or not, you will actually start treating other people nicely. It's just the way things go. So we know that evil from the time of the Garden of Eden is self-seeking, prideful, angry, fearful to be found out, etc. You can probably come up with even a better list than I can at that point in time. And those that follow evil display this characteristic because they have put these kind of characteristics as the pinnacle of their relationship. That's what's most important to them. Now, but what about the heavens? A lot of things. We talk about God's love and we talk about things and we'll even kind of go through them. We know the love of God, right? I mean, we grasp the love of God. Romans 8, 31 through 39, we started out a few verses in there and we'll go dig into that deeper. Because Romans 8, 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? This is Romans 8, 31, and I'm in 33 right now. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, is also risen, who is even of the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we know about the character of God. We know about the amount of grace and mercy that God has. What about the host of heaven? Well, we know what happens when there's good news, right? So if we go into Luke, if we head on into Luke and we look at chapter 2, looking at verses 8 through 14, this is what happens when good news is going on, when everything is there. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Now, Greg, you're doing, this is the Christmas message. We're on, you know, Resurrection Sunday, but I'm just rewinding a little bit. I'm telling you about how angels react when there's good news. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Wow, so God's the leader, God's full of grace and mercy. Now the host of heaven is declaring to us the good news of the gospel of Christ, that Christ is born. Okay. What about when not so good news? How does the host of heaven actually respond when there's not so good news? When the very one that was announced by the heavenly host that there was a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes was rejected. Was rejected in Matthew 27, 15 through 26. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. This is Matthew 27, verse 15, heading on into 16. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." So what happens by the host of heaven? What happens and what do they say and how do they respond? And that's what intrigued me. That is what intrigued me. Sorry, there's the Matthew 27, 15 through 26, by the way. Sorry, I was on that slide. But that is what intrigued me about God as being leader and how he sets the tone. Because we have God's love, it's John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." We know about Jesus' response when he hung on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Luke 23:34. And then they cast lots for his clothes in that same verse. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We know about God's reaction. We know about God's love. And we know about Jesus' love. But as I was reading Matthew 28, 1 through 10, which is just page over, a couple pages maybe, depending on. And this is what was very intriguing to me, because in chapter 28, in verse 1, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Like dead men. He didn't kill them. They became like dead men, which I would do the same thing. I'd be laying on the ground thinking, don't pay attention to me. I am not here. I am mum's the word. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And what I was, as I was reading that, what really struck me was, where was the, you put him on the cross and you crucified the Christ, the Messiah. Where was the accusations? Where was the indignation? Where was the anger? Your sin put Jesus Christ on the cross. But you don't see any of that. How many times do I, and I'll put it on myself, and if you can recognize this, you know, that's fine, but I'm going to put it on myself. How many times do I take up an offense for another person that I wasn't offended, but I hear of somebody and I want justice for that person. I want, and if they can't find justice, boy, I want to do something so that they make sure that they have justice. How many times do I take up that offense? Which, by the way, we're warned not to do. But yet we do. And so I'm looking at this and I'm like, they have justifiable reasons. The host of heaven has justifiable reasons. But yet you don't see that. He didn't come down with vengeance. He didn't. The angels didn't sit there and vengeance. All they did was they allowed Jesus to actually. They rolled away the stone. They rolled away the stone. The leader sets the tune. And in verse 9 through 10, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. Wait a minute, aren't you the one that just spent hours on the cross? Aren't you the one that died? Aren't you the one that actually, that was on that cross, a just person on that cross? And he's like, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. The leader sets the tone, which then brought me to who is our leader? Can God, you know, have wrath? Yes, totally. As in Romans 1:18, and I'll read it. If you want to flip over there, you can flip over there with me. But in Romans 1:18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So can God be wrathful? Yes, but he is a God of love. He is a God of mercy. His characteristic, has he done that? Yes, because he is a just God and he judges fairly. But he is God of love. He's a God of grace and he's a God of mercy. Who's the characteristic of the leader? Jesus can drive out unrighteousness from the house of the Lord, but he is the redeemer of all those who seek him. You understand that? The same Jesus that can drive out unrighteousness, is the same one that went on the cross to die for your sin and for mine. He is the Redeemer. The very character of God reflected in the universe. All the host of heaven. That is why it is so very important in Matthew 5, 43 through 48. In Matthew 5, 43 through 48, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do this, or do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And then in John 13, 31 through 35, it says this, so when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And then the very last one I will use today, Galatians 5, 13 through 15. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware, lest you be consumed by one another. The very character of God, it's not just in the world, it's in the universe. It's not just God the Father and God the Son, it's also the entire host of heaven that is there. It's also our characteristic. Have you ever felt, I will say this, in your life, will you have the right to be able to get angry? Yes, but I will say that I never feel good about myself after getting angry, but I always feel good about when I love another person. When I show love instead of anger, when I show forgiveness instead of bitterness, when I show a kindness rather than indignation at that person. I never have to look at myself in the mirror and come up with excuses for why I reacted the way I react when I allow the love of Christ to show forth. I never have to ask for excuses or never have to ask for forgiveness when it comes to that. When you align yourself with the very characteristic of God, you never have to worry about that. There is no law that governs that. There is no law that governs that because our character is what changes. Our character is what shows forth. Jesus died and shed blood for our cleansing from sin, but he did not stay dead. He is alive. The world and all creation declares the glory of God. To know the Creator, know the Son of God, Jesus, Yeshua, the Christ. As followers of God, reflect the character of the risen Savior. Love one another, thereby accomplishing the will of God. Remember this. If you've never seen this before, hopefully you'll remember it. I shortened it to RPT. So if you can remember that, RPT, very, very short little deal. Rejoice, for your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Pray always. And be thankful in every situation. And I always like to actually highlight that last piece. I am not thankful when I'm going through the bad areas of my life. I'm thankful that I'm following the God who's walking me through it. RPT. This, and so you accomplish the will of God. You accomplish who He is. You accomplish all those things. And that requires a focus on Jesus. Rejoice, for your name is written. Pray always. Be thankful. Next Sunday, and this was a very, very, very short Sunday because we had like very short things going on. We are going to be going into part 5 of the Timothy series, and we're going to be dealing with prayer. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this day, and I want to thank you for this time. I want to thank you that we can gather together and worship and follow after you. And I thank you, Father, for sending your Son to die on the cross. And I thank you, Father, that he rose again. And I pray, Father, that we may follow after you in all things and in all ways. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen.